Good morning. It's April 18th, and it's another day where things in the world have changed, probably forever. Won't ever be the same. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm going to cover the fourth part in this series, Recovery from Alcoholism. I started out and it's changed in my mind from what I was going to do. I was going to cover all the 12 steps and three or four talks, but it's so important that I understand, and still to this day, that I have to live in a different world. I can't live in the self-centered world anymore. I can't live in Michael's world where I'm the center of it. It'll never work. My life will never work. I'll never have any power not to drink or use, and I'll never have any peace or joy. I'll be in conflict with everybody and everything, and I'll be full of fear and resentment, and then take harmful actions and be full of shame and guilt. And I don't want to live that way anymore. And so I spent a lot of time on the first part talking about what the first step really means, what it entails. I can't take the first step for anyone. It has to be their experience, but they have to understand the power of it, because the first step and the powerlessness has to be real to drive the process of recovery. And the process of powerlessness then leads to the second step, to believe that there is a power, and I went through that in part two. And so I have to remember that every day, no matter how long you've been in recovery. I'm powerless to run my life. I'm powerless over alcohol. I have to be willing to believe that there's a power that can help me. And now I have to make the decision that I make every day. But what I was really talking about mainly for new people, or what it entails when you first come in, and then that drives the rest of your recovery process. And before I begin, I'd like to say the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. God, help me carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so last week we covered what I must be convinced of when I arrive at step three. And this isn't like an intellectual conviction, but it has to be in the heart. And it has to be from living a life run on self-will. To be convinced that my life will never be successful in self-will, run on self-will, which is the first requirement, I have to understand what it looks like, and that's what we covered last week. And that my problems when I came in to AA were not the result of anything out there, or any of those people out there, or any of the circumstances. It was because I was living a life run on self-will and living in the wrong world of Michael's world that I'd lived in all the time. And that's why they say the alcoholic can't tell the truth from the false. You just can't see it because you're in it. You're living a lie your whole life. And so it said on page 62, and we covered it, and I'm just going to cover the book because it does it so well. I'm going to finish step three. And then in the last part, I'm just going to summarize the process of moving into the world of the spirit, and then what the world of the spirit looks like. So the God willing, there'll only be two more parts to this, but I hope it's helped somebody. It certainly helped me. I've gone through these pages a million times, but never kind of in this fashion. So they talk about our selfishness. I have to be rid of it. My problems arise out of me. I'm an extreme self-will run riot, though I usually don't think so, but now I have to see it. I have to face it. I have to constitutionally be able to be honest with myself, that I'm the problem. My self-centeredness is the problem. My separation from God is the problem. And I can't fix it. That's the issue. I can't fix it. If I keep trying, then I haven't surrendered. If I keep trying to fix it in my own mind with my own plan, it'll never work. And that's why they say there's no way of entirely getting rid of self without God's aid. I tried to do better, but I just couldn't be different because I had no power. And it says, many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but I could not live up to them. Why? Because I had a self-centered mind. I'm living in the wrong world. In that world, my moral and philosophical convictions were still based on self. My moral and philosophical convictions have to be replaced by God's vision for me, God's will for me, service of God and others. It says I have to have God's help. So now we're getting to, we've done the first requirement, and we're making a decision that we don't want to live in my self-centered world anymore. I want to change. I'm willing to change. I believe now I can change, and now I'm going to make a decision to change. And so we're going to look at what that process involves. Now that we've experienced the first and second steps, and we understand that a life run on self-will in my heart will never work. So it says this is the how and why of it. So we did the first requirement. What's the second requirement for step three? Is that I have to stop playing God. I can't still play God and have a decision that God's going to be my director and still play God. It's not going to work. In fact, I didn't even realize I was playing God. I assume you were too. We didn't see it. It was just the way we lived. And I had the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of managing well. So I thought I was doing the best I can. My motives were always good. Why do I have to quit playing God? Well, they tell me. It didn't work. Now, why doesn't it work to play God? Because I'm not God. And I was the director running the show, and it never worked. And I couldn't see that when I came here. A lot of people never see it. That's why they never work the steps. They give lip service to 1, 2, and 3, but they don't really take them. They don't really take the steps. They don't admit, believe, and really make a decision from the heart. Because what we're trying to do here is build an arch to freedom. The arch to freedom takes me out of this world where I was playing God and I was running the show, and puts me through this arch to freedom into the world of the spirit, the real world where God's the center, and where I have a power to live that's not mine, and I have a power not to drink, and I have a power to be usefully and joyfully free, and I can have peace and serenity, and I can be of service to God and my fellow man. So to do that, to move out of that world of the self, it requires taking steps 1, 2, and 3. And so we're building the arch, and then the process of moving into the world of the spirit is to complete the arch through the work of steps 4 through 9. And then we stay in the world of the spirit in 10, 11, and 12. And so we never have to go back to that world again. Now 10 and 11 tells me that I'm always going to try to go back to my self-centered world, but I have spiritual principles and tools now that I don't have to do that. But now we're making the decision, and the decision has to follow with the idea that I have to quit playing God. It didn't work. And why didn't it work? Because I'm not God. It's that simple. So I'm going to make a decision now. So the first requirement is that I be convinced that life run itself will never work. The second requirement is that I have to quit playing God. I can't play God and live in a world of the Spirit. I can't do both. So I have to quit playing God. It didn't work. Now, I don't know how to do that. That's what the rest of the steps are about. But I can't do 4 through 9 till I've taken step 3 and understood it, what it really means. So I'm making a decision now that hereafter, not up to this point, I was playing God, it didn't work. But hereafter, that's a key word. It's a new word. It hasn't been in my book before. You know how they put words in the book that you never saw? I'm going to make a decision that hereafter, in the drama of life, God's going to be my director. This is an important decision. It's one that has to be made all the time. Every day, every minute. Remember, what is our choice to be? Is God everything or is he nothing? What am I going to choose? My choice is based on my decision, based on the information that I've experienced in step 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to choose God. Why am I going to not choose me? Because it didn't work. It'll never work. And so the rest of my life, I'm going to be working on the choice to choose God as everything. And the rest of the steps in living in 10 and 11 and 12 is how I make that choice all the time. And what we really do is we stop making the choice that God is nothing because it doesn't work. And we don't feel good. And we are disturbed to choose God as everything. So it's a process that we're beginning now, a lifetime of work, hereafter, forever, in the drama of life. Now, where is the drama of life? Is it like a play? Is it a book? Is it a movie? No, it's in my head. The drama of life in my head. God's going to direct that. So I don't have to have any drama anymore. I'm the only one that creates the drama. God's going to be my director. So my life doesn't have to be drama anymore. It just has to be circumstances and how I deal to them with God. Now, I have a lot of drama when God's not my director. So hereafter, in this drama of life, God's going to be my director. He's going to direct my thinking. So when I look at life, I see it differently. Now, this decision without action is fantasy. But if you've really taken the first 3 steps, it will drive you the rest of your life to keep taking the first 3 steps. I took the first 3 steps this morning. Before I got out of bed, I admitted I was powerless. I asked God to direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, self-centered, dishonest motives. Why'd I do that? I'm powerless over alcohol. I don't want to manage my life today. I believe God can do it. And I made a decision that I want God to be my director today and keep me from self. So these steps are not like theoretical intellectual exercises. They're things that become part of you that you do all the time. And we don't do it all the time. That's why some days are a mess. But we understand why they're a mess now, why there's drama in my life when God's not the director. He's the principal. We are his agent. When insurance company has agents, they don't set the policies. They carry out the policies of the home office. We don't write the policies anymore. We follow the directions of the home office. He is the father, and I am his child. Now, that's a fundamental concept, that if God is my father and I'm his children, he'll take care of me. A father will take care of his children. He's the shepherd, I'm the sheep. Most good ideas are simple. This is a simple idea. And this concept, the concept that I have to believe is the keystone of the new and triumphant arch to which I'm going to pass the freedom. If I want to be free of the bondage of self, if I want to be recovered, if I want to have a life of peace and serenity and usefulness and service to others, I have to move through this arch, but I have to build it. Willingness, the willingness is step one. The pain, the suffering, the complete defeat of step one of myself, my plan, my way, is the foundation of this arch to freedom. The cornerstone is the belief that there is a power greater than me that can restore my life to some sanity. Not just me, but my life, my thinking, my actions, the sane actions. And now I'm putting the keystone. You can't have an arch without a foundation, a cornerstone, and a keystone. And the keystone of this new and triumphant arch to which we pass the freedom is this decision not to play God. God's going to be my director. And it's God's going to be my director all the time, in all areas of my life, forever. Now that's a powerful decision. Now none of us make it, can follow through perfectly, but that has to be the decision, that I'm giving God 100% of me, surrendering to God, me. I'm not surrendering from something. I'm surrendering to something. And I'm surrendering me and my way and my will and my self-centered thinking to God. I'm giving it to him. Giving it to him forever. Now here's the problem. We give it to him, and then we, quote, start doing our self-centeredness again. It's not that we take it back. We just not allowing him to do what he's supposed to do. And I have to do that forever. But this is the beginning, this decision. And you can tell when people have made it. How do you tell when people are defeated? You can see it in their eyes. When you talk to them, they want help. They're willing to go to any length. We read yesterday in A Vision for You, AA number 3, and it's perfect. It's the perfect third step. It's on page 158. I guess y'all know I was starting on page 62, but I should have said it. They're talking to AA number 3. It's the third day. They've explained their experience. They've explained what they understand of alcoholism. And it says on the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator. Okay, but here's the deal. And said he was perfectly willing. Look at that word. Perfectly willing to do anything necessary? Are you perfectly willing to do anything necessary? And what I was talking about is I see people who are perfectly willing for things to be a little better or to do some things, but they fight. Why? Because they're not defeated. They're not hopelessly defeated. They can't see the hopelessness and futility of their life. I want to see it today. I want to stay defeated. Somebody said you should never get too far from your first step. Your first step drives everything. I don't want to ever forget the humiliation defeat that I had when I came in here. It's a gift. I have to stay hopelessly defeated on my own. I have to believe that there is a power. I have to be perfectly willing to do anything. So how do you know if a new person's perfectly willing to do anything? Give them something to do. See if he does it. If they drag their feet. Have you ever seen any foot draggers? Did I do it? Sure. We all do it some. But when I came in, I was willing to do anything. I said, I will do whatever they say. I don't want to live like this anymore. And so you can't follow through on your decision in step three without action. And the total surrender will drive it. And if you're not totally defeated and totally surrender, you can't totally surrender till you're totally defeated. And if you're not totally defeated and you don't total surrender, you're not going to do the deal. I said at one meeting, you have to be 100% powerless. So this lady was struggling. She says, she came up to me after the meeting. She said, I'm 90% powerless. I said, well, good. Work on it. We need 100%. She says, I'm going to try. The next week she came back. She was so excited. She said, I think I'm 95% powerless. I said, great, but it's got to be 100%. You don't leave 5% of the breast cancer in the breast when you operate. It's going to kill you. I said, you got to give up 100% powerless in all areas of your life, not just in respect to alcohol, in all areas of your life, 100% powerless. So here's the third step, promises. And this is what they describe. We read yesterday, a vision for you. Now, once he took this third step sincerely, 100%, there was a change. I remember when I gave up, there was a change in me. Things were still a mess out there and in my mind, but I knew that there was something that was at work in my life that I could go to, and it was going to be there for me. It says, when we sincerely took such a position, when we sincerely take this position that God is my director, God's my father, God's the principal, it's also the beginning of total humility. And it requires humility to work the steps. And it's a humility that you can't just intellectualize. It has to be in your being that you understand that of myself I'm nothing. I must have God. So when we sincerely took this position, all sorts of remarkable things follow. We have a new employer. You have a new employer now. You don't work for yourself or your business. You work for God. On some days, I would say at the hospital, I don't work for those people on the second floor anymore. I don't work for these directors. I said, I work for God. It gives you a whole new vision. Because we work for God, and we carry out His vision every day, and that's all I'm supposed to do. And if I do that, I'll be a good employer at my work. I'll be a good AA member. I'll be a good father and son and dad and husband. Now, here's the good thing about having this new employer. He's all powerful. Now, don't we read that at every meeting? There is one who has all power. We seek him now. And why? Because my alcoholism is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and without God's help, it's too much for me. And so I have to have one who has all power. That one is God, but you find him now. Half measures don't work. I stood at the turning point. I asked his protection, care, with complete abandon. That's what we're doing. And when we do that, we have a new employer and being all powerful. Guess what? Guess what I get? I'm going to get everything I need. Wow. My whole life I was trying to get everything I need from out there. Circumstances, people, things, money, possessions, whatever. I get everything I need just from being of service to God. So I have a contract with God. We sign a contract with God in the third step. God is my employer. I work for him. He's all powerful. And he's going to give me everything I need. So that's God's job. He's all powerful. I work for him, and he's going to give me everything I need. That's a pretty good contract. So what do I have to do? What's my part in the contract? I have to keep close to him, conscious contact, in the world of the Spirit. Stay in the world of the Spirit, and I'll get everything I need. Get back into Michael's world, I get nothing but crap in my head. Now, how do I stay close to him? That's what the rest of the steps are about. Step four begins with, I have to unblock myself so I can experience God's power. I have to face and be rid of the things that are blocking me from him giving me what I need. And what do we need? We need power. We need direction. We need peace. We need serenity. It doesn't mean we get more money. We get whatever we need to accomplish his will. We ask for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. And I keep close to him through the work of the steps. And then if I perform his work well. So I have to stay close to him. And if I stay close to him, I'll perform his work well. Knowledge of his will for me, the power to carry it out. Step 11, I ask throughout the day what the next thing is that he wants me to do and give me the power to carry it out. So it makes our life simple now. I work for God. I just stay close to him and do his work well. And if I'm doing his work well, I'll be a good doctor, a good husband, a good father, grandfather, AA member, human being. Now, that's the footing that I want to be established on. That's my contract. Now, is anything better than that contract? Oh, there's one other thing I heard Dr. Paul, who wrote Acceptance is the Answer, and he talks about this contract with God. Guess what else God has? Worry. If I'm worrying, I'm doing God's job. God has worry, and he's going to give me everything I need, and all I have to do is stay close to him and do his work well. And I have my spots, he's write it in their book. I have them put the date in the contract. And then when they're upset or anything's bothering me, I say, well, you're working for God. Are you close to him? Are you doing his work well? If you're worried, you're doing God's work. Why would I do God's work? God can do his work. Established on this footing, this is the footing that I want to establish my life in for the rest of my life. Remember we talked about the soil and the trees? And the tree planted in Michael's soil looks like crap. We're planting our tree in God's soil. And when we do this, I become less interested in myself. Doesn't say I won't be interested in myself, because that's what 10 and 11 is how we keep fighting our self-centeredness and turning constantly back to God. My little plans and designs. I don't need to be interested in myself and my little plans and designs anymore. All I need to be interested in is what is God's work for me to do today. More and more I become interested. So this is the change that they talk about, Dr. Jung, the spiritual change, changing your ideas and attitudes on life. People read that, they say it's good, but what does it mean? It means that if I'm established where God's my employer and I work for Him, I'm less interested in myself now. That's a change in my attitude. My little plans and designs. None of my plans are little. They were always big. But they are silly in themselves. It doesn't mean I can't have a goals, but they have to be aligned with God's will for me. And we covered that on page 85. My will has to be aligned with God, and then I can use my mind. More and more I become interested in seeing what I can contribute to life. This is a change. I'm going from interested in myself to what I can contribute to life. And isn't that what we review every night on page 86? I say, was I kind and loving to all? Was I thinking of myself all the time? Or was I thinking what I could contribute into the stream of life? As I felt new power flow in, you begin to feel new power. I can't explain it, but you begin to feel something. We begin to enjoy some peace of mind. We have some serenity. Why? I'm not fighting everything and everybody anymore. I'm not in conflict. I just have to work for God and stay close to Him and do His work. Whenever I don't have peace of mind, I'm back in self. I'm doing my little designs, my little plans, seeing what I can contribute to life for me. And we discovered, if we do this, that I can face life successfully. Remember, a life run on self-will can never be successful. But now, if I allow God to be my employer and give me everything I need, and I stay close to Him, and I do His work well, I will have a successful life. Do you want a successful life? This is the key. Now, I don't know how to stay close to Him and do His work well, so I have to follow this with action. But this is the promise, that if I do this, this is what's going to happen. So the promise is that I will have a successful life, face it successfully, and I will be conscious of His presence, begin to lose His fear of today, tomorrow, and be reborn. Now, if I want all that, I'm going to have to follow it through with action, which they're going to tell me in two paragraphs. I'm reborn. I have a complete change in my personality. I've had a spiritual experience, a rearrangement of the things, my thinking, my ideas, my emotions are reborn. And then it says we have the third step prayer. Now I want to cover, everybody knows the third step prayer. And the third step prayer, you can say it any way you want, but you have to remember the line after the third step prayer. It says, I think well before taking this step, this decision that hereafter the drama, God's going to be my director. I'm the keystone of the arch. I think well before doing this. This is in the initial time, your initial step three. Making sure I'm ready, that I could at last abandon myself utterly to Him. Abandon me. Abandon my thinking. Give myself, surrender myself completely to God. Am I perfectly willing to do anything that's necessary? And you have to think about this. I think the problem is people say, I can't, he can, I'll let him. It's kind of lip service. It's kind of trivial when you think about it, when you're talking about going from dying in a hopeless and futile condition of life to having God as your director, abandoning yourself completely to God. You're going to let him. That sounds like, okay, I'm going to let you, God, since God, but God has all power. It trivializes this. It has to be completely ready, completely abandoning yourselves to him. And I have to do it every day. Now, the third step in the beginning drives everything. And the actions of 4 through 9 in Living in 10 Lamp keep your step 1, 2, 3 alive. They keep it alive by you keep doing the work. Faith without works is dead. If you don't keep doing the works, your faith, your new employer, your trust in God will die. That's why you have to continually do this. Now, your emotional sobriety, your peace of mind will depend on doing this. You can stay, maybe you can not drink and you keep getting coins, but you're miserable. Well, what does that mean? It means that you've made not drinking your higher power and you want to get those coins, but you're miserable in the rest of your life. This is a way of living. This isn't about not drinking anymore. This isn't about staying sober. This isn't celebrating how many days you haven't drank. This is a celebration of a change in your thinking and your personality so you can have some usefulness in life and you can be of service to God and others and you can have positive self-esteem and you can have peace of mind and you can face life successfully and you can contribute to life. But you have to completely abandon yourself to him all the time. Now, how do you know when you're not doing that? That's what step 10 is all about. You don't feel good. You're disturbed. You're back in self, so we have to watch. Step 10 is living in the world of the spirit, the new world. You watch all the time for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to move them. We don't want to get away from God being my employer. When I start to employ myself, I have to watch for that and say, fire yourself, Michael. Get back to God. So I'm not going to go through the third step prayer, really. Everybody knows it. But just a couple comments. I'm giving God everything, all of me, 100%. I want to be relieved of the bondage of self all the time so I can do his will, because when I do his will, I feel good. So they're really telling me I need to get through that arch and stay in the world of the spirit. And then just a couple thoughts. The next podcast, I'm going to go through 4 through 9 fairly quickly because it's on the site. I've drawn extensive instructions on the 4-step, all of it, 6 and 7, went through Drop the Rock, 8 and 9, gone through in detail, done the steps we took on it, the carry the message, the instructions in the big book. They're all on the site. You just go to experiencethebigbook.org, go to episodes, go down to the tags, and you can tag 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It'll show you all the talks on them. There are 400 talks on the site. It says, I must be willing to abandon myself utterly to him. And it says, the wording of the prayer is optional, but we have to express the idea, voicing it without reservation. Nothing held back. Complete defeat. Complete humility, complete surrender. This is only the beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect sometimes a great one is made. And then I'm just going to read this. Next. So how long does it take after you take this third step with someone to when you do the fourth step? Next. Or at once. And it has to be vigorous action. It can't be the 8 month fourth step. And it doesn't have to be done perfectly. But I really believe it has to be done just the way they say it. I had this sweet lady yesterday on the Zoom. She's been coming to the meetings for quite a while. She's listened. I don't know who her sponsor is, but she was showing me how she was writing out her fourth step. And she showed me like 10 pages of her life story. And you know me, I have a sense of humor. I said, well, nobody wants to read that. And that's not the fourth step. Follow the instructions in the book. Keep it simple. Face and be rid of things blocking you. Learn the spiritual tools so you can allow God to be your director. And you can be of service to Him and you can stay close to Him. So I hope this was helpful. And it says, when we felt this at once, what did I feel? A complete change in the direction of my life. How do I know it's still true for me? I asked God, I prayed this morning. First thing before I got out of bed, I'm powerless, God, help me. I say the third step prayer. I ask Him to direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, self-centered, self-seeking motives. I ask Him for love, patience, and tolerance, and kindness for everybody I meet today. To have a kind and tolerant view of everyone, to keep me from being angry at everybody. Now, of course, I don't do that well, but this is what I want. I want to love my neighbor as myself. And I'm thinking of doing a podcast on that, but loving your neighbor as yourself, which it says in the big book, is really as God loves me, I want to love you. With the same love that God has for me, I want to love you. And if I do that, I'll have peace of mind, and I'll have joy, and I'll have self-esteem. So next, part four is going to be a summary of 4 through 9, and part 5 will be a summary of how to live in the world of the Spirit. So I hope everybody's safe. I hope these podcasts are helpful. I thought I would do it this way so a new person could listen to 1, 2, 3, and 4, kind of help them get started. God bless everyone. Thank you.